We are grateful again for these graduates and what God is doing in their lives. And I just think of, you know, as they started out on this race from kindergarten, and I'm reminded how fast it's probably going to go with our little one, little Mary Ann. She'll be graduating just a few days, graduating from kindergarten. Yeah, she's crossing the finish line there, getting ready to branch off into the big leagues. First grade is coming up, and she's looking forward to it, but I'm reminded of how fast I'm sure it will probably go. I'm sure if I ask some of you parents out here, when you were just seeing your graduation, how fast did those 12 years go by? I'm sure that you would say, as a flash. Blink of an eye, and I'm aware of that, but we are thankful for God's leading in their lives. If you would turn with me to the book of Proverbs this morning, chapter 20. This message God put on my heart for graduation Sunday, if you will, for this day, but also this past week, it's nothing you really look forward to, but I was involved with helping out with two different funerals this past week. Excuse me. And, you know, this thing of just life and the next step and what God is doing and making it count for Christ has just been so fresh on my heart and mind, as I did officiate one of the funerals, and the other one I attended. I may say more about that here in a little bit, but just the importance of us understanding that, hey, life is short indeed. It really is, and it's no surprise. We talk about how fast things go by, but really, the Lord told us that already, didn't He? He told us in James, remember, that life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. It's gone. And so the Lord even told us, in several other instances in the Word of God, He told us how short life is. And we need to be ready. We need to spend every day in preparation for eternity. And I hope I can be an encouragement to you this morning. This message is directed toward the graduates, and it's also directed toward all of us. But I just felt like this is what the Lord wanted us to do this morning, by way of the morning message. So let's read together Proverbs chapter 20, and I'll read verse 24 and 25. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 24 and 25. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. Let's pray together. Lord God, I do commit this message to You. I thank You for all those that have come today to worship, to sing, to praise, to give thanks, to give, and Lord, now to give attention to the Word. Father, I do pray that Your Word would have free course this morning. I pray that lives would be changed by the Word of God this morning. That the Spirit of God would change the course of those that are here, especially if they're on the wrong course. But Lord, maybe there's a change that needs to be made in a good way. Someone may just be on the right path, but maybe they need to make a decision to make a change for the good. Lord, I don't know what You're going to do here, but I am asking that You would do something really special in our midst. I'm looking to You and You alone for guidance. In Jesus' precious name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, the title of this morning's message is this: What's the Next Step? You've been there. I've been there. We have graduates that are here that they may know some things that they're going to be doing in the fall or even this summer, but really that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves here, even this morning, as we've come to worship, is what is the next step that God is leading us to take in our lives? You know, there's always that next step of obedience. There's always that next step of faith that the Lord is leading us to. I'm thankful this morning that there's, that in this life that we call the Christian life, it does not end after we reach a certain level. My friends, the Christian life is always upon steps forward closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will never get to that ultimate final step until we step over the threshold into eternity in glory with the Lord Himself. And so we are constantly taking steps in this life, and we do need to be continually evaluating our own hearts and our own lives and saying, Lord, what's the next step? The steps are going to vary. They're going to be different for all of us. They're going to be at different degrees. They're going to be in different categories. But however, we always need to say, Lord, what's the next step? What are you dealing with me about, Lord? In order to know the next step for your life, you must know that you are being guided by Almighty God. Your life is currently being guided by the Almighty. You know, we see here in this verse that man's goings, that word could be translated steps as well. Man's goings or his steps are of the Lord. That means they come from the Lord. They are created by the Lord. He has called us. He's created us and called us. The Lord has, and He has established a path for every one of us. But then the next question says, how can a man then understand his own way? So that is why we gave the title, what is the next step? What do we do? Are any of you here in that area in your life where you're like, you're praying maybe, considering, what's the next step? What's God got for me next? What's God doing? Well, I believe, looking at His Word, I believe we can find help and we can find assurance that God will indeed lead us to that next step. He will tell us where we're going. He'll show us. He says that man's goings are of the Lord. You know, old Albert Einstein, probably one of the most famous scientists who's ever lived that we know about and study about and read about. I know Brother Bill Weatherly has done much reading upon Mr. Einstein, and I always enjoy hearing about that from Brother Bill. But you know, old Einstein was traveling from Princeton on a train one day, and when the conductor came down the aisle punching the tickets, Einstein reached into his vest pocket to get that ticket. And as he beheld there and looked, he realized that that ticket was not there. So he moved from the inside pocket to his pants pocket. He started trying to find it there, and he couldn't find his ticket there. And you could tell Einstein was getting concerned. And so he went to his briefcase and opened up that briefcase. And sure enough, he looked in there, and it was not there. It was nowhere to be found. He was concerned, Mr. Einstein, as he looked and could not find this. But the conductor kindly said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. I know who you are. We all know who you are. And I'm sure you bought a ticket. Listen, don't worry about it. The conductor then continued on his way, punching tickets down the aisle as they would hand them over to him. And just before he went into the next car, he turned around, and what he saw, he could not believe his eyes. He looked back and saw the great scientist Albert Einstein down on the ground on his hands and knees looking for this ticket. So he ran back in a hurry, and he got to Dr. Einstein, and he said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. Well, Dr. Einstein looked up and said, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I am going. Oh, Einstein didn't know where he was going. He needed that ticket to see where his next destination was. And don't you feel like that sometimes? You're just trying to figure out where's the next place that God is leading me? What's He preparing me for? The things that God has brought into my life up to this point. God, what are You doing? Where are You leading me to do? It may not be a physical location that God is leading you. It just may be a spiritual step of obedience, of faith that He's leading you to do. And He will lead. He promises to. You know, sometimes that's the way life feels. It's the next step. Let's look here quickly at a couple things. Notice with me first from our verse, I want us to see the goings of man. We've already mentioned that that word goings could also be translated steps. And it is the way a man is walking. It is his life. This represents a person's life. And he's saying a person's life is from the Lord. It's of the Lord. And I want us to see, first of all, here in the goings of man, that it's God ordained. God ordained. This verse just truly exemplifies, it just screams the sovereignty of God. How God Almighty is in absolute control of every single thing in this world. And He is, my friend. That's Almighty God. That is His sovereignty. And by the way, it causes no problems to mention also the free will of man. We have been trying to figure that out for many, many years, centuries, trying to reconcile the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Well, listen, God already states it in His Word. They both absolutely exist, and that's all we need to know. Amen? But we see here that God is sovereign. We see here there are two basic principles, as one commentary would say. We see God's controllable power and sovereignty and man's absolute dependence and helplessness. Man's dependence upon the Lord. Now, as this brother would say, as I just mentioned, here is no infringement of freedom on the one hand and no excuse for laziness on the other hand. You know, some can say, that because of the sovereignty of God, that we can just take a back seat and say, God, He can do it without us. Well, it's true He can, but He has chosen to use the weak things of the world to confound the wise. That's you and me. God has chosen to use us. And so, no, we can't just take a back seat and say, God, I'll take care of all. No, it's us for it to step up and say, Lord, here am I. My goings, my steps, my life, here it is for You. And so we see that the goings of man are of God. Listen to Acts chapter 17, verse 28. It says this, for in Him, that's Christ, we live and move and have our being. I am what I am today by God's sovereign power. You are where you are today because of God's sovereign power. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the good decisions, the bad decisions. He knows all those things, and He is working all those things out for our good and His glory. You know, we see that God has purposed in our lives a plan. You know, Joseph Benson said it this way, all men's purposes and actions are so entirely subject to the control of God's overruling providence, and so liable to be frustrated or changed, as He shall see good, and to be directed to ends so far distant from those they thought of and intended, that it is impossible for any man, get this, that it is impossible for any man to know what shall be the event of any of his undertakings. Let me sum that up to you. God can lead any way He wants to. God can take your life and use it any way He pleases. And by the way, that's always the best way. You know, we always say, well, what is the best way? The best way is God's way. And He can lead you any way He wants to. You know, some people, me included, have been guilty of putting God in a box and saying, you know what? God cannot lead that person that direction. And it may be a location. It may be a place. It may be something. You could go 1,000 different ways on that. But listen, if it's not in violation of the Word of God, He most certainly can lead any way He wants to. We can't put God in the box, but He has ordained a path for us, the goings of man. I like the way one fella said it. Man proposes, God disposes. Man makes a plan, but God decides how that plan is going to go. And I believe there's a verse that says that. As a man deviseth in his heart, he plans, he devises, but it is God who directeth his steps. So we see, first of all, that remember, your life is planned. And can I let that sink in? Can you let that sink in just a minute? I think sometimes we just kind of let it go by the wayside. But just be encouraged. Look, think about this morning. Your life, where you are right now, every experience you've gone through in your life up to this point, God has been a 100% involved. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. You don't know some of the things I've done. God, you're saying God's been involved in that? Hey, listen, I didn't say God caused it. But God has been there. God has been there through the good decisions, the bad decisions. And when God has taken you in His mercy, even in the bad decisions, He is working in your life to bring you back to the path that He has laid out for you. Even with all the mess, He wants to bring us back to that path. So yes, God has never left anybody here. He is sovereign. And for to say that God has not been by me or involved in my life in directing me is to say God is not sovereign. My friend, He is sovereign. And He is involved. He is interested in your life, in my life, 100% of the time. With 100% interest, Almighty God, Sovereign One. But we see here that man's goings, his steps. But then secondly, I see here that these steps not only are God ordained, but they're a mystery. They're a mystery. Look what the verse says there. It says, how can a man then understand his own way? Well, that's where we've been, is it not? I don't understand what God is doing right now. You ever been there? You ever been there? I know you have. We all have. Matthew Henry said it like this: we so little understand our own way that we know not what is good for ourselves. And therefore, we must make a virtue of necessity and commit our way unto the Lord, in whose hand it is, follow the guidance and submit to the disposal of providence. Matthew Henry. Jeremiah said it this way in chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Jeremiah is saying, I know I don't know the way. I don't know the way. But what does it go on to say? It is not in man that walketh to what? To direct his steps. Hey, listen, graduates, and all of us here, one of the best ways that you will learn to fulfill the will of God is to come to that first base, that first point, and say, you know what? Lord, I realize I don't know the way. I don't know the way. I don't know if any of you men are like me here, but I cannot stand pulling over for directions. I would much rather take about 12 different wrong turns before I go to the store and ask questions. Anybody else here like that? Okay, I got a couple of you that are honest. But you know, the first thing that we can do to show God that, look, God, we don't know the way. And I just want to, first of all, make one thing clear in my heart to you, Almighty God, which I already know you know my heart, but I want to make one thing clear. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And God, I am totally dependent on You. Because You are sovereign. You see the beginning. You see the end. You see everything that's going to be taking place in my life. And God, I just want to tell you, I am depending on you. Because life is a mystery so many of the times. We don't understand it. I mean, think about Joseph and taking his walk to search for his brethren when he's just obeying the Father. He never anticipated a more than 20 years before he would see his daddy. You think about that. What a mystery. And here I am just walking, fulfilling the will of God. And boy, God changes my course real quick. But he would later see that the sovereign, loving, almighty, nothing but good and perfect God knew exactly what he was doing. And he led Joseph faithfully. And he led him to eventually bring liberty and freedom to the children of Israel. We see here that Israel, when they were being led through the way of the wilderness, they were led the long way. But God in His sovereignty said, I can't take you the short way, children. I'm going to have to take you the way through the wilderness, way out of the way, because if I were to send you this way right now, you would turn as cowards and run from the enemy. There was preparation to be done. It surely seemed a mystery to the children of Israel. Why, if you were like me, I could have been in the group. Why do we have to go the long way? You know, we get that way sometimes, don't we? Lord, this surely seems like there could be a shorter way of doing this. The Lord knows what He's doing. I think of the evangelist, Philip. As he was preaching, and there was great revival in Samaria. People were being saved, and God the Holy Spirit takes this evangelist where he was succeeding and calls him out to go meet out in the desert where there's hardly anybody except for this one man on a chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, to Philip's mind, can you imagine what was going through? Now, Lord, this doesn't make sense. This seems like a mystery. Here I'm seeing the hand of God move upon this meeting in Samaria, and here you are calling me out to no man's land, out into the desert. But boy, I think things started clearing up when he saw that chariot, when he saw that man come and that divine appointment he was leading him to. It may seem like a mystery. Hey, I don't know. I may be talking to somebody and there's some real mystery in your mind right now. Like, I don't know what God is doing. Can I tell you, He's sovereign and He knows what He's doing. You just trust Him. You know, it happens that way many times. There is but one who knoweth the way that we take, to whom both past, present, and future are alike. Visible and comprehensible. His infinite wisdom and love ought to make us willing to leave Him to direct our paths, while a sense of our individual responsibility ought to keep us from presumptuous rashness on the one hand. That's from the homiletical commentary. I thought that was right where he's talking, just simply releasing our own will unto His will. We were talking about that this morning. And I'll mention it here again in just a minute. But we see here that God has a sovereign plan. And let's admit it this morning that many times it can seem like a mystery. Let me give you a few things that will help you and help me to go through these times where we don't understand God's sovereign plan. And it is a mystery to us. How do we go through those times? How do we face those times? Let me help you here. This is what we can do. How does one know the steps he should take? What is the next step, Lord, in this life? Well, let me say, number one, there needs to be complete and utter dependence on the Lord. As I have said, listen to this quote. No man can comprehend fully the meaning of his own experiences. And the suggestion here is that a man must throw himself on God, acknowledge, obey, and trust Him. And then his life will be rationally and successfully directed. See, the first thing is you just got to come and say, Lord, I'm just going to depend upon you. And then we see simply saying this, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Dependence. I like the way one guy translated this verse in a very short phrase. Independently of God, who can do any good? Independently of God, who can do any good? The psalmist would often say, Lord, uphold me. Oh, listen, friends, our confidence is in the Lord, and we look to Him for dependence. But then not also should we go to Him for dependence, but we should go to Him for direction. Number one, our dependence on the Lord. But what is the second thing? It is our direction given by the Lord. It is the Lord who will give the directions. You say, how does that happen? Well, let's look to the Word. Listen to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Same word there, his goings. The way his life is going. Man can make a plan. By the way, there's nothing wrong with making a plan. Some of you graduates have already planned to your college you're going to. That's fine. You've gone to the Lord. I hope you have prayed about it. I hope you have surrendered to the Lord and you have put together a plan, and God is going to lead you. He's going to direct your steps. He will give the direction. Listen to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. You know, the Lord God does speak to His children. With a still small voice, He will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't argue with the Lord when He tells you to take a step of faith. Do not argue with the Lord when He tells you to take a step of obedience, and it is not in violation to any of His word. I'm telling you right now, God will direct your steps. He will tell you the way you ought to walk. You know, Genesis 24:27, the servant there. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. The servant of Abraham finding the wife for Isaac. He just simply said, I was in the way. I made a plan. I went to the place. And sure enough, the Lord, He led me. He guided her. Divine appointment. God does direct. I think it like this. Any of you that enjoy being out on vessels or sailing vessels, it's almost like setting your sails, getting out on that open, beautiful water and just setting your sails and letting that wonderful breeze come through or that wind to take you to your destination using that wind. Hey, listen, that's what God wants us to do. He wants to set our sails and let the wind of God's Spirit and the wind of His Word direct us in this life. You know, that's what God wants us to do. I like what one fella said. He said, apart from the Spirit working through Scripture, God does not promise to use any other means to guide us. Let me say that again. Apart from the Spirit working through Scripture, God does not promise to use any other means to guide us. In fact, I got that quote. You graduates will see that in the book that we gave you as a church. The name of the book was this, Just Do Something. And it talks about, it's a really great challenging book. It's not a very thick book, but it just really strives home and hits home the point that, look, don't sit around and wait for a message in the sky. Take a step of faith and obedience by God's leading and do something for the Lord. And that quote came from there, that's where we will get our main direction is from this precious book and from His Spirit working in our lives. You know, direction. The Lord gives direction. You know, as a non-rate, I was what we called a seaman, as an E3 coming out of the Coast Guard on my first boat there, first ship. And one of our responsibilities as seamen were to be helmsman. And, of course, we would be up there on the bridge. I was on a 210-foot cutter, and our responsibility would to be sit in that chair and this big wheel, about almost a little bit shorter, about the size of this inner part of the pulpit. And we would have our compass right there, our magnetic compass, where we could see what path and course we're on. And then, of course, we would have other guys up on the deck giving us certain commands. But always when we would come up on the deck, there would be a course already established that the captain has given for us to follow. And so you're up there on this big vessel, and here I am, just an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid up here on this helmsman, you know. I'm not really doing much, but just controlling this helm. I'm actually waiting for commands to turn it. And sometimes it would be right degrees, 5 degrees rudder, and of course he could tell by the radar if we were getting off path or not. But the fact of the matter is, the night before the captain went to bed, he would give a pattern, a course for us to take. It was a patrol in the Caribbean. We did a lot of drug interdiction, so he would have that course out. And so we would follow that. With the quartermasters, man, we're making sure we're on target. And of course, it would be, now, one thing that was prohibited for sure, now, I get a captain mask real quick and get a good way to get kicked out and get punished and make your life miserable, is to go your own course. Or fall asleep at the helm, if you will. Or just kind of turn it whichsoever I way. No, that wouldn't work. I had to stay on course. In fact, if I got off course at all and saw where I was keeping, I would have to report it and say, "Sir, I'm off 5 degrees." And he would say, "Correct, with right 5 degrees rudder." And I'd correct. And so you were constantly being held accountable because you had to report it if you got off a little bit. But we were not to change our course. We were to stay on course, the course that was directed. But I want to tell you something about God's direction. He can change the course anytime He wants to. Because if the captain were to come up and say, "Men, we just got a distress call. It's going to be 200 miles to the east. You turn this vessel immediately and go the opposite direction." My friends, that's exactly what we would do. We would change our course. There was a pattern. And listen, you may be on a pattern right now that God has put you on. You may be exactly where God wants you, and I hope you are. But my friends, I hope you will always, because if you believing in a sovereign God who is in full control of your life, would be willing to say, "Lord, you can change my course any time you want to." Might be somebody in distress. Might be someone, some place, something God is wanting you to do. He's chosen you to do, and He's put you on a certain path, and everything's been great, and then God might just move in His sovereignty and change that course. Can I tell you, dear friend, I hope your heart would be tender for God Almighty to do that. You say, "Really?" You say, "Really? Well, Pastor, you know how old I am? Well, Pastor, do you know my background? Well, Pastor, do you know?" Listen, you can't. That's not in the equation of God's sovereignty. God can do anything He pleases with my life and your life. And the quicker we understand that, the quicker we can live in the peace and power of Almighty God. My friend, God will direct our paths. And He even promised it, did He not? One we claim all the time, but the Solomon would say, "Lord, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and what? He shall direct thy paths." That, my friend, is the truth of God's Word. But then here, my last point is, not only do we need to be dependent on the Lord, and do we need to be directed by the Lord, but we need to be dedicated to the Lord. Look with me there in verse number 25. I had never really connected these verses before, but I do believe they are. Look at verse 25. It says here, "It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy." And then what? "And after vows to make inquiry." We see here that what is he talking about? Somebody that has made a decision to obey the Lord in a direction and going back on it. In other words, they had made a dedication to the Lord to go a certain direction or a certain decision, and they never followed through with it. Sometimes we refer to them as camp decisions or just revival meeting decisions. And it's those things that God deals with us about, something He tells us to do, and we say, Lord, I'll do it. And we have an emotional decision. Maybe we come to an altar. Maybe we talk to somebody. But what happened is it was just emotional. And what we do is we devour that which is holy. And God has given us a holy command. And we have said, well, I don't know that I will follow through with that dedication. Do you know what the Bible says? It's a trap. And I pray that there's no one here this morning that's in a trap. Maybe there was a point in your life where you surrendered all to the Lord, but maybe you've gotten off track. You've gotten on your game plan. You've gotten on your course. At one point you said, Lord, here am I, send me. But somehow that's gone way in the background and it's no longer there. Maybe it was emotional. You know, this thing of dedication, it's not artificial, it's not superficial, it's real. It's without negotiating. Now, this, my friends, is where we can really get in trouble when we try to negotiate with God. Listen, can I just say this? I know you know this, but we do not negotiate with God Almighty. Can I get an amen right there? We don't make deals with God. We don't make deals with God. God is sovereign and He has total control of my life. And it's not for me to come to God and say, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. No, my friend, that is not the way it goes. It is this, God, you have full control of my life and I will do whatever you tell me to do. No deals with God. You are surrendered to the Almighty. And through that, there's no negotiating. And when you make a decision and God deals with you and He establishes your goings and gives you a direction and you respond and say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Then that's where we need to follow through and say, okay, God, by your grace. Oh, Lord, I will do it. But then, not only without negotiating in our dedication to the Lord, but then with delight. Look over with me to Psalm 37, and we're going to close here after this verse. Go over to with me to Psalm 37, verse 23, if you would, please. A very familiar verse to many of us, but maybe not. Let's look at it together. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Let's read that together, church, out loud. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There you go, the steps of a good man, a good woman, a good boy, a good girl. Who is that? Those that are delighting in the Lord. We were talking about that with Brother Greg this morning. We were discussing this verse and some others, and that the steps of a good man are directed and ordered and established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, who is he here? The first he. I believe that first he is you and me. Who's the second pronoun here? His. I believe it's God. I believe that verse is saying that when we are ordered by the Lord, when our steps are guided by God Almighty, you and me, what will we do? You and I will delight in the ways of God. And we will delight in what He is doing in our life. Why do I believe it is us that are delighting in His way? Because it's His way. God's the one established the way. He laid out my course. God's the one that saved me at the age of 21, would call me to go to Bible college for to study for 5 years. God is the one that gave me my precious, lovely wife. God is the one that would lead me out to the Sahara Desert and leave me there to serve there and for 3.5 years. Then God would lead me to Athens, Georgia, be the pastor of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And through all that time, has it always been a bed of roses? No, it has not. There have been some of the deepest times of my life. But one thing I can look back to, and I haven't always done perfectly, but this is the one thing I can be assured of. It has been God's way. And though I bucked many times and took my own course, and God had to get over there and spank me around and bring me back. You ever been there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd get a hold of me and said, "Oh, you're getting off course again. Get back here." That has happened. But all along the way, in God's precious sovereignty, he's never given up on me. Aren't you glad he's never given up on you? My friend, you are here this morning by God's divine providence, by his sovereignty, because he's got a plan for you. And he's wanting you to be on course. And he's wanting to direct your way. But one thing you must do, and I do, to get God's best, is you must have a point where you say, "Lord, I want to dedicate myself to you. I want to delight myself in your way, not my way." And then when we delight ourselves in the Lord, it's wonderful how the Word of God just says it all. When we learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, you know what he says? He'll give us the desires of our heart. That is awesome. That is incredible. That when I am pleased with the ways of the Lord and just pleased with my Jesus, I just love him. Not always like I should, but when I just direct my affections toward him and my desires towards him, what the Lord says, "Okay, now that you've delighted in me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to supernaturally put my will and my desires in and through you." And God does that through his children as he gives them that desire. That's why the verse says it is both God who wills and to work of his good pleasure. What does that verse say? It says in Philippians 2:13, God will give you the will, that's his will, and also will do. He will give you the power to do of his good pleasure. Wow. I'm glad that he does that, because in me, I don't know where I'm going. To me, there's mysteries in my life. And if you're honest, you got some mysteries in your life that you really don't know what God's doing. But I want to tell you, my friends, please take some words of encouragement here. Do not be discouraged. Let God and his sovereignty work it out. And he will, when we give total and absolute control unto him. You know, some of you may be here, like I mentioned. Some of you, we've all experienced it. May feel like you're off track. May feel like you've gotten off course and there's really not been any corrective measures taken. I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel. But I want you to know that God is waiting for you to make the corrective measures. I don't know about y'all, but as much as I hate getting directions, another thing I just hate with passion is to missing my turn and having to drive many miles out of the way, especially on the interstate, especially when it's the Jefferson exit and you have to go all the way like to Braselton. You feel like you're going to Atlanta to turn around. I did that yesterday. And it wasn't even for this illustration. But as I was coming from Commerce, and I know 137. Is it 137, right? Yep. Okay. I know that's it. But you know what I was doing? I was talking on the phone. Well, at least I wasn't texting, okay? I was talking on the phone. And I was in a pretty good conversation, and I got distracted. Even I knew it was coming up, and you know, I had to, it was so close. I looked to my right, and there was the sign, exit now. And I think I could have made it, but there was a friendly 18-wheeler on the other side of me. But I was very spiritual and didn't get upset after I repented, okay? But what did I do? I kept going, and I'm like, I know, here we go. Because I think it's literally like 7 or 8 miles before the next exit. 11. Thank you, Lori. 11. Could you not get another exit? But all right, we'll discuss that another time. 11 miles, and then 22 miles total. So, but I was thankful. Let's count our blessings that there was an exit at 11, okay, miles. So I got to thinking about that. I was going the wrong direction. I was going in the exact opposite direction that I wanted to go. But I got to thinking about that. You know, it was a good bit out of the way, and it did cause me some time, and it did cause me some of my spirituality. But you know what? It was there. And I exited off that ramp. And you know, I saw then that there was, of course, an overpass. And then that overpass puts you back over onto the on-ramp going the other direction. And you know, I read about this and I thought that it was just a great illustration to think about when it comes to getting back on course that God has you on. Many times we get going the wrong direction. Do you know what God provides for every one of us? He provides an off-ramp to turn around. That off-ramp is what we would call confession. That's the off-ramp of confession. You are agreeing that you have gone the wrong way. You are acknowledging that, look, I got to turn around. I need to get off this course and get back to where. So you do. You get off. And then you get off of that road with that off-ramp of confession. You acknowledge what you've been doing is wrong, going the wrong way. Then God connects you on the overpass. You know what that overpass represents? Grace. The grace of God. Oh, glory for the grace of God. You get on that overpass and it connects you over the highway and then connects you to the on-ramp of restoration. So God gets you to His grace and you get forgiven of God and you get over and then you get onto the on-ramp of restoration and it kicks you back the other way and gets you back where you need to be going. Now listen to me, friends. Listen to me. There are people that I believe, maybe even in this room, you feel like the course of your life, you have gotten off track. And you feel like maybe you've gotten so off track that you're just going to keep on going. I didn't think about this illustration, but I'm telling you what, you know where I would have gone if I would have gone? Atlanta. Who likes driving in Atlanta? You see what I'm saying there? There are some people that get so overwhelmed, they've gotten off course in life, and they just feel like they can't turn around. But I want to tell you right now, God has got an off-ramp for you. He's got an off-ramp for you even today. It doesn't matter if you've been off course for 50 years. I don't care. God in His sovereignty and His mercy has an off-ramp for you. And then He's got an overpass. Hallelujah. And it's called the grace of God. And He will forgive you. And He will put you onto the ramp of restoration and get you back on track. You know, it may take a little while. After you get forgiven and cleansed, you say, God, because I had to drive another 11 miles, that's right, to get back on course. But I want to tell you what, once I was back on course, I sure was thankful. And you would be too. I don't know what God's doing here, friend. But listen, the Lord in His sovereignty has established our goings. He knows that we don't know the way. We can't. And that's why He says, depend on Me. That's why He says, dedicate yourselves. And I will direct you exactly where you need to go. Would you pray with me here.